Gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 24 through 30. It is found on page 14 in your pew Bibles. It is Jesus' parable of the weeds and the wheat, the Word of God. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of this his holy word. Again, will you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious Lord, we thank you for those challenging words of Jesus. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want us to think about that human tendency we have to be judgmental. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. For us to get into the realm of Jesus' parable, please try on the following exercise for size. What is your own top five for persons deserving hell and damnation? Now, here is mine. And let me first of all say, I did not think it was very funny when Arbor Williamson, an elder in this congregation, when I asked him Friday for his top five of folks he wanted to see burn in hell, he said, "Preachers who preach bad sermons." All right. In my best judgmental nature, number five, anyone who sexually assaults anyone else. Number four, emotional or physical abusers of children. Number three, anyone who intentionally hurts an animal. Number two, telephone scammers who bilk elderly persons out of life savings. And number one, anyone who leaves their child in a hot car so they can go into the beauty salon for at least an hour and the child dies. There is in this world so much meanness, so much ugliness, so much injustice, so much abuse that you and I sometimes want to travel to those places only in our imaginations where evil people get their deserved punishment. Hey, Michael, while you're on a kick of saying who's going to go to hell or who I think should go to hell, how about my ex? How about my mother-in-law? How about my coach? How about my piano teacher? How about my grandpa's mistress? And on the list could go. I know. So what's your top five? And please don't anyone say clergy who preach bad sermons. Oh, thank you, Arba, a true friend of mine. The parable of Jesus, the wheat and the weeds, reminds us that God is the ultimate judge. God is content to let the wheat and the weeds exist together until God decides who's going up and who's going down. The judge is not you or me. Jesus says, let both of them grow together until the harvest. I don't know about you, but one of my biggest struggles with my own spirit is my struggle with my tendency always to be judgmental of others. Why do we do that? Because we wish to be at the center of our own universes? Because so often we believe the world revolves around what I think, what I believe. My mom has a nurse who is a very, very attractive young woman. But her nose is pierced. Her hair is glowing radioactive red. So why am I always looking at the metal in her nose? One of my favorite waitresses in all of creation works at Vinny's on J. Clyde Morris. And I used to love to go there with Roger and Scott Coverdale before he became a Tar Heel. And we would love to go and give our orders to Amber and gaze upon her serene smile and laughter. Well, the other Sunday, Bonnie and I went out for lunch after worship. And we went to a local restaurant, and in walked Amber, her husband, and their two little children. And before I could say to Bonnie, that's Amber, I noticed her husband. And I remember Amber telling us guys one day that he was an ex-Navy SEAL. So, of course, I stood back 30 or 40 feet. And said, Bonnie, look. He had tattoos from his neck down to his fingers on each arm. And I said to myself, he is married to one of the most beautiful waitresses in all of creation. And she looked over across the table at me and said, you are one of the biggest knuckleheads in all of creation. But why do I have to include what her husband's tattoos look like in today's sermon? Why am I so judgmental? Well, has anyone here ever spoken of someone else's opposing political viewpoints and done so in a vulgar or crude manner? Why do I believe there is so much drug use in local trailer parks? Why, when I see folks begging on the streets next to Walmart or in Kiln Creek, do I first think to myself, that is a scam? The thread running through so many of these judgments, that if they're true, it somehow gets me off the hook for caring for others. I can ignore street beggars because it's a scam. I can stay out of trailer parks because so many drug dealers and users use those properties, and I don't want to go near those folk. I can stay away from tattooed individuals because associated with all that skin ink is probably illegal substances, sexual immorality, violence, you know, sons of anarchy. Jesus' words this morning force us to revisit our worldviews. We are not God. We are not on the same level as God. We don't decide who gets into heaven and who is shut out. Judging others should never be on our radars. Jesus calls us to love others, not to judge them. Loving others means we will have to get down and dirty with them and not walk away from them because they have so much trash under their bed. Pew! Or because their breath smells. Gosh, when was the last time you brushed your teeth? Or because their whole body smells like cigarette smoke. Jesus tells us to treat others as we would want to be treated. That will require an investment of our time and talents and money. Problems such as addictions and abuse and poverty and homelessness are complicated issues, which will probably require us as followers of Jesus to spend years helping these persons turn their lives around. We don't help an alcoholic by saying the script according to Michael. Hey, Leroy, you have got to stop being a drunk. No one wishes to be around you. Or someone who's addicted to spending. You have got to stop blowing all your disposable income on electronic gadgets. You're not going to have any money to give to the church. Or how about this one as a kind, compassionate word to say to someone who's in the midst of a sexual addiction? Do you think you are truly honoring your body as God's temple when you sleep with just about every undergraduate at Little Bo Peep University? We want our problems to be fixed quickly and simply. But that is not how the world is. Days of prayer and money and time will all be required to love others as God has loved us in Christ Jesus. It will involve a total commitment of our resources, not just an hour or two here or there. God does not call us to have easy answers. God calls us to faithful living, which includes not judging others. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, have mercy upon us because we are all so prone to point the finger of accusation and judgment against others. Help us to be Christ-like in our attitudes and our actions, that we will love those before us and not always consign them to different sections of hell, but reach out and be with them as you have reached out and loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.